Well, we have started, and you're doing a good job if you're entering in. But Candy whispered. She felt like the Lord wanted to say something. So, Candy, please.
You don't know how much I don't want to share this morning, but when God moves on your heart, you have to either step out or you just run out of here. But as we're singing that song and we're singing that part where it says, knowing that I'm your desire and you, I was taken back. You know, we look at our lives as a marriage between a man and a woman. And when you're married, you know that when that man picks you or that woman chooses you, you're their desire. And as I'm singing that this morning, I was thinking back and I was thinking about being your pastor, me and your pastor, when we first fell in love and he picked me. I knew that I was his desire, and I was so thankful that he chose me and not someone else. And I was thinking about how when we sing that song to the Lord, he gave his life for us.
Yes.
He didn't just choose us, but he laid down his life for us. And he gave us eternal life. Yes, Pastor Bronk chose me. And I know he would give his life for me. But he has not given his life for me like our God has given his life for me. And I'm just so touched by that song this morning when I sing that part about knowing that I'm your desire. He's telling me, yes, you are, and I gave my life for you. And he longed so much for us to just draw into that intimacy with him. And he wants to be that God that we desire him to be. We have no idea how much he desires our love and our time and our intimacy with him. So as we sing that song, I would just think it would please him so much if we'd really take it to heart that we are his desire. And we need to make him our desire.
I am here to heal, says the Lord. I'm here to heal. I'm there where you're watching to heal, says the Lord. When you think of healing, most think of the physical. But I provided through my stripes an inward healing against all fear, against all abandonment, against all heartbreak and emotional challenges. Come unto me, you're that laden down with burdens, and I'll give you rest. Take a yoke upon you that I provided through my Son, that a peace that passes all understanding, it'll guide you through the storm. If you'll reach out to me, I've already provided all the substance you need to get to the other side, and the healing that you need is here. It's provided. Yield to that place. Be strengthened. Be healed. All the guards, the guardianship of your soul that you've placed up many barriers. It's time to drop those shields before my presence and invite me into every room. Because I do not come in this morning as a judge, but as a healer, accusing nothing, but healing all. Give way to my mercy. Give way to my grace. Give way to my love, says the Spirit of grace. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Good to see Kevin, Denise. Well, she's had a time. She's got a testimony. I'm going to hear it sometime, and you'll probably hear it soon after. But thank God she's here. Almost lost a couple fingers. Man, we were praying that day. Hallelujah. So how did that happen? Well, we'll leave you in a little. Just stay tuned. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus, we worship you. We glorify you. Well, we've already had church, but we haven't completed everything we needed yet that he wants to do. Thank you, Jesus. Give opportunity for people. Glory. Hallelujah. Let's just worship just a little bit. This is kind of an intermediate time to give people to get back and parents to get little people settled. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. Glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. You're so worthy. You're so worthy, Jesus. We magnify you. We magnify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, just join with me in prayer. Agree. Just, what does that mean? Just set your heart in agreement with Pastor's prayer, I guess. And say yes and amen. So, Father, we thank you that we have an opportunity to take one more step into the face of your will for our life and for this church and for this movement, which involves many other places. Many other places. We have sister churches. We pray for Grace Christian this morning in Dayton, that the people that are there and the people that are tuned into there, the glory of God will fall upon them. We pray for people that are all over the United States listening, and maybe even in some parts of the world, to this message. We are in direct fellowship with them. We're one church, one body. We may be here residing in Immokalee, but we thank you that we get the opportunity to take another step together, hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder, heart to heart, for the purpose of this outpouring. We give you all the praise and glory. We just depend extremely, vehemently upon you, Holy Spirit. Please help me not to go too fast. Please help me not to go too slow. Show me all the pictures. Help me to hear and listen, Father. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're going to do something as the Holy Spirit always leads and listen. We've got a couple documents that we want to pass out to you in just a moment. But both of them tend towards the I would call intimacy. You've heard so many messages here about intimacy. The Holy Spirit visited me prior to this service in the last few days, and in essence, and I'm just going to coin it like he placed in my spirit, that we are to remember intimacy, how important it is in the part of our perfecting towards the trek of revival and outpouring and all the things that he wants to bring into fullness or fruition in our life for our perfecting. We talk a lot about the four pillars, and we could discuss those, and I could get lost in any particular one of those. We talk so much and preach so much about being filled with the Spirit and speaking in other tongues, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I think you know, and I'm pretty sure you know, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the baptism of the Holy Spirit as in fullness. The word baptism means fullness. When you're born again, 2 Corinthians 5:17, there is a change that takes place. There's a recreation of what already exists. You didn't not, you it wasn't that you did not have a spirit. You already had a human spirit, but it was dead prior to reborn. Then when he steps in, he doesn't go and get another spirit. You already had a human spirit that was really created by, you'd say, God. Well, yes, God, but through the law of Genesis, it came into effect through your mom and dad. The genetic code of the flesh or body was in synchronization with the genetic code of the spirit. So the moment that one cell multiplied from sperm and egg, there was an immediate duplication in the spirit realm of the multiplication of spiritual cells so that you developed a human spirit. So it wasn't like God came and brought a human spirit. You already had a pre-existing human spirit before born again. He just came in and basically in a moment, it's a twinkling of an eye, you might say, that spirit died. Another one was created. But born again is the most significant thing that could ever happen to you, really, because it is the beginning of eternal life. You don't get eternal life when you go to heaven. You have eternal life right now. But born again is so vitally important. But then that happened to you. Dave used to say this, and I loved it. I can't hardly improve on it. He said, that happened to you. Born again happened to you as a person. Baptism of the Spirit is apart from you. It happened to you, but it's apart from you is that there's another person now coming in. Our good fundamentalist brethren, which I love so much. And what do you mean by that? I'm talking about maybe good Baptists and those that would hold to this doctrine that, well, I got the Holy Spirit when I was born again, per se, because the builder and maker of all things is God. God came in and built the tabernacle, which is your born-again spirit, so he's in the construction process of it, though it happened instantaneously. So his handiwork is in that, the creation of that, or the life that came into it was. But there's no baptism there. There's no fullness there. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is when the person of the Holy Spirit steps into your spirit. You are you. And you, what he did is you. Now on this walk, well, let me say this. He steps in at baptism and fills you. Okay? You get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He fills you. That spirit that he created, he fills up, which is really a neat, wonderful deal, isn't it? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is a part of the baptism. The baptism is the Holy Spirit filling you up. Now, when he comes, he brings a gift. And the gift is speaking in tongues. He brings a prayer language with him. So thank you for that prayer language. But really, the baptism is him himself. And that's why some people are baptized in the Holy Spirit and they don't even start speaking in tongues right away. They get down the road a little bit and they realize, wait, something just wants to come up. And that's the gift that's wanting to come up. So the baptism happens apart from you, but is then becomes ingrained in every part of who you are, and which is so wonderful and so incredible. But we speak a lot about baptism of the Holy Spirit, praying it in tongues, and which is so wonderful. And it's probably one of the staples of, I'd say, an underlining staple of this walk. When I say four pillars, now I'm kind of jumping ahead or running ahead here so we can get to a place where we need to be. And so I understand that not everybody listening probably is going to grasp everything that I say, even in what sounds like very basic for many of you. But there is a priority. I would say I wouldn't call it maybe the most important. I would just call it the priority gift, which is praying in tongues. Because the moment that you get born again, even before a Bible can ever be put in your hand, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And what was the first thing that Jesus said? He said, go into Jerusalem to his disciples
He didn't say go study more of Old Testament scripture. He said, I want you to go into Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, which was, we know, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit, and when they were filled, they began to speak this incredible language. And of course, those two are just synchronized, one and the same in that sense of the word. So baptism of the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, in which we practice around here, we will always give prayer lines for it, is such an important staple as far as going forward. It's a foundational thing. Praying in tongues, we talk about fasting often, which is very, very important. And we can never get away from meditation and consecrating ourselves to the Word, speaking the Word, decreeing the Word, confessing the Word. Not just confessing. There's two ways to confess the Word. There's an answer confession, like when somebody asks you, how are you doing? You answer correctly. But way more important than that, that's just an occasional thing. You might not see anybody or talk to anybody for days. Your confession privately turns into a confessionary or a decreeing that you can do every day or multiple times a day before the Lord. Just take a simple scripture pertaining to that which you desire or need, whether it's finances, healing, and then you begin to personalize that scripture and confess it before the Lord and say, Lord, this is what I'm saying to you. Now back to born again and spirit filled. What do we need for this? Well, we need both. You need you. Do you understand that? You need you. Do you know what you is? You is born again. You have to be born. You have to have that born again spirit to resist sin. And really, that's really all you ever really needed, because you can live basically a sin free life even without the Holy Spirit, but you'll never work the works of God in power and bring forth the anointing of the Holy Spirit that casts out devils, heals the sick, and does the works that Jesus did and bring Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John back into the earth without the helper, without the dynamo, without the Didymus power. So you need both. You need you and you need him. It's a great partnership. Hallelujah. But I say all that to say this, when you hear us preachers, and I would say especially me, I'll pick on me. For whatever series that we're in or whatever thought process the Holy Spirit is illuminating, let's say if it's praying in tongues or if it's worship or if it's fasting or if it's confession, the word, confessing, decreeing the word, you'd almost swear based on how we're presenting it, because we're so locked in to that particular limb at the time that, man, that's the one. Not that the other ones are really not to be practiced, but it's like, if you can do this one, everything's going to happen. It's going to solve the universe. It's going to cause everything. So, man, it's like, man, it's just, why? Because when the teacher comes, you're just like listening, gleaning, 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 and you want to get this over, and it just sounds like this is the one. This is the lamb. This is the lamb. Well, it is, but we need every single one of them. Which limb? All of them. To be perfected in this and to get to the other side and to walk into the fullness of his glory, we need all of them to be working and to be maturing in our lives. Now, all of us have different limbs. We probably are stronger in, a little weaker in, and others. But the trek of a revival is to say, Lord, shore me up in all four. I want a complete, because that's why Jesus walked. He's the apostle and the high priest of our profession. And he walked in everything that we want to have. He walked in profession, perfection. So I'm saying all that to say this. We're easing into this morning. We're going to read a couple of prophecies, and it will remind us of our assignment in intimacy. And intimacy is spelled out in these prophecies as whisper. Now, I have a father of the faith that most of you never have met or seen or really personally heard from. But at times, there's a grace, I'll just say that, a grace that flows from him that sends It sends me a prophecy or prophecies. And sometimes there are prophecies that have come out of here. And yet, and there's never any pretense like, I think you need to share this. There's never ever been that. But so oftentimes, it just explodes in my spirit. And personally, it'll do that. But then later, the Holy Spirit will say, this is something that you need to share with the body. And recently, I was reminded by the Holy Spirit in this particular spiritual father through a grace that came. And I want to share the, let's go ahead and pass out the first document. And this is something that came recently. In fact, my church, by the way, wasn't that wonderful? Wednesday night was really good. This is the whisper of my voice. Thank you, Jesus. So everybody should be getting the whisper of my voice, and it is, for those that are watching, I believe this prophecy, it is, because I remember looking. It is online if you want to look at it. Most of you that follow us can find that quickly, so I'm not going to go into describing, but that's on our website. And this is marked March 26 of this year. So that's just past tense. Hallelujah. Now, this came through, I don't know if it came right at the moment. I don't know if it came before or after the message or right around. There was a message that the Holy Spirit did, a teaching, and he used John as an example, the brother of James, and Peter, James, John, yeah, or John. He used John as an example out of John 13, how that he basically, we broke that down, how that he whispered to Jesus, who is it, concerning the betrayal, because Peter asked him, he nodded to him, and that's a message gone by, which was really anointed. But let's look at this, because the Holy Spirit again said to me, remind them of intimacy, and in essence, remind us of the importance of intimacy. We started the morning great, didn't we? An example, a perfect example of that intimacy. The Lord said here, the whisper of my voice. I'll be in the whisper in counseling by my spirit that'll bring you through, says the Spirit of grace. Step aside, for these are critical times. They're critical in the birth of that which I've promised, and they are critical in the place of bringing you all the way through. Where you're standing in the fight, says the Spirit of grace. But you can trust the whisper of my voice, the counsel. Believe that those things which are coming to you in the secret places of whisper of my voice to your heart are the very foundation by which my peace is established in your spirit. And if you'll walk in this peace, as my word says, that your feet will be shod with the preparation of the gospel, which is peace, I'll lead you out. I'll lead you to a land in a wide place, for many stand in a narrow place. Have you ever felt very cramped up, like there's so much coming against me? I just feel like I'm being squeezed. A place of pressing where hardly there feels like there's an escape. But I say unto you, listen, for you can trust the whisper of my voice. Count these things as precious. Count these things as above all knowledge that you could receive and counsel of man. Know that the whisper of my voice, if you'll listen and trust, I'll lead you out. I'll establish you in a wide place, in a fertile land, in a land of in my spirit where my anointing breaks every yoke, says the Spirit of grace. This is a prophetic word, and you need to say this to yourself, and I think we'll say it out loud. This is not the end. Everybody say, this is not the end.
This is not the end.
Say it again. This is not the end. I don't know what this is not the end means to all of you. Or every one of you probably got a place in your life that the enemy says, this is it. This is the end. This is, you know, or not again, or you're not going to recover from this physically, financially, whatever your him saying, this is it, it's over, it's not going to work out this time. So God is telling us through this prophetic, by the way, those of you, I hope most of you understand the prophetic is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Its premise or its basis is Word of God. But out of it, the Holy Spirit speaks. He did that earlier in the service, I recall. And it is a gift, is one of the multiple gifts of the Holy Spirit, in which really all of us, there's prophets, and then there are all can prophesy, but this is a gift by which the Holy Spirit spoke on this particular Sunday, and he's saying these things to you personally, those of you in here, and myself included, and to those in the camera. This is not the end. This is not the end. This is the beginning, says the Spirit of grace. Stand in the whisper. Listen close. Count it more precious than any counsel you could receive of friend or family. Follow it. Follow it. Follow it in your dreams, in your decrees, and your confessions. I want to say this. When he says it's not the end, sometimes we have imagined how something's going to work out, and we'd say, if it works out then this way, then it's solved. Sometimes God has to change everything, and it doesn't turn out like we thought, but it's still not the end. It's the beginning. Something changes, and we're like, oh, that's not how I expected it to go. And yet, it's not the end. It's a new beginning. It's something fresh. God is not a pond. He's not a lake. He is a river. He doesn't live, you know, down up there, or, you know, he lives in a flow. He's fresh. It's always a new beginning in God. And so this is what he's wanting us to understand, that no matter how things change for us, it's not over. He says, follow it in your dreams, in your decrees, in your confessions, for I'm counseling each one that'll spend any time. Everybody say anytime. Anytime with me. And I'm counseling with a soft voice of direction and assuring you that this is not the end. It is the beginning of all things going forward. Always to the end of the fulfillment of the promise, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Now, I've learned, maybe haven't always been, but I'm learning. I don't want to set any kind of thought process a precedence of my life as in regards to where your life should be as in prayer. I get to do what I want to do, although there's many, I'm very busy in a lot of other ways. It's really crazy in this sense of the word. Even though I'm a pastor and doing a lot of stuff for, you know, as far as, and thank God I've got Harry helping, Candy helping, other people helping. and a lot of volunteers. But if I gave myself an excuse, I could really find enough stuff to do easily. In other words, it comes and gets me. That I'd just say, well, I have a very, very little time to pray. But I do have plenty of time. And that's why I get up very early in the morning, get those hours in. But I'm saying that to say this, not to impress you or not to even put a mystique in your mind like, I can't do that, because most of you can't. I understand that. You're working men, you're working women, your mothers, your housewives, even if you're single, you're still busy if don't have the capacity or don't have the time slot. This is what I do for a living, and I should, right? Yes. Amen. So you should be praying. So if I'm talking about something and putting in an hour form, you're like, wow, that's great, but I'm just giving you an example. Can everybody say, Pastor's just giving us an example? It's not meant for me to use as a template for my life. You get your own template, right? But for years, this is, and he hasn't changed it. And I just know what I'm supposed to do. For years now, the first at least hour, if not 2 hours, is spent in intimacy before I ever get to the Word. Then I'll go to the Word, and all the time the intimacy is intermingled with praying in tongues. It's praying in tongues. Why? I used to try it when I first started, just to stay, just in worship. When I say intimacy, some of you are kind of like, what are you talking about intimacy? We're talking about private worship. And we could teach volumes and teach all kind of stuff. I mean, we could do a seminar on how to privately worship. If you go to the book of Revelation, you see worship there, the elders and the angels. That'll kind of give you a little bit of a template. They're crying, holy, 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 Lord God, Almighty, wisdom, power. They're giving him all these accolades of worship and adoration. But intimacy is your praise, your love, your listening. It's a two-way street of worship, but then hearing his voice and then resounding what you believe he just said to you back to him. Yeah. And intimacy is such a vital part of what we do, as in bringing us forward, acclimating us towards this outpouring. Intimacy brings us, and there's no formula for intimacy. There's no formula. It's a freelance kind of thing. It's something that as you sit in his presence, and sometimes you'll feel like, is this really doing any good? Is this really accomplishing anything? And yet you know that the word, there's enough word. The biggest book, the largest book in the Bible is the Psalms, right? I mean, if anything's a testimony, a worship book, the largest book in the Bible is a worship book. So that should tell us something, right? But intimacy is private worship. But if you think, now let me get down to some nuts and bolts. If you think intimacy is just a repetitiveness of saying the same words over, you'll get stale in that. And you'll think, I can do better just praying in tongues for an hour or making some confessions. And I get to that in my time. But I have been for years instructed to spend that first at least hour. And then many times it extends over. Sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes I know for whatever reason that day I'm supposed to go right into the Word and I listen. But intimacy or private worship begins to build in you a rapport with God that you've been built for. It then also develops a hearing ear. Praying in tongues does. These all correlate with each other. But it will bring you to a place where there's a baptism not only of your spirit, but there's a baptism of your senses as well. Now, that's not always the case, but there's a place where you develop where you can come to this, what he's telling us here, that you can hear the whisper. We need to be able to live by the whisper. Because by the whisper, he's bringing us forward, like that prophecy said. Now, these are yours to take home, and maybe you'll pray into them sometime this week. When I say pray into them, you'll read and just ask God to open. It opens up. The Holy Spirit opens up avenues inside of you. Even in dry times, you'll find that something happens, that it creates a cavern inside of you that says, it was dry yesterday, but man, I don't know why, but I want more. I like the dryness. You've heard my testimony of when I was really spending, I just really wanted to get into private worship as much as I possibly could. And the Lord just showed me something one time. Excuse me. It was so significant, it really changed me in a lot of different ways as far as seeing the power in worship. I spent all morning, got over here early. This is when I prayed over here and worship 3, 4, or 5. I don't know how many hours. I walked out of my office and I was coming. I didn't have the hedge then. And I was walking over it was the middle of the day. I thought, I'll go over there. Candy will fix me a sandwich. I've been over here maybe before daylight. And I was coming over and you've heard the testimony. There was a couple of guys on bikes, grown men, that came up from behind me, and they were coming from kind of from over, I think, where Homer's at, over that way. And one was a black guy and one's a Spanish guy. And they come up on my flank, and I'm like, I'm kind of watching things, you know. And I just rounded and I'm heading on Nassau now, no sidewalk then. And they come up and they were about ready to stop. And I'm like, okay, what's happening? And so, and they, the one guy goes, hey man. I said, hey, bruh. So, I said, yeah. He said, I know you. I said, I looked at him. I said, I don't think so. He goes, did you go to school here? I said, no, I didn't. I said, I pastored that church over there. And he goes, well, you're a pastor. I said, yeah. So they, you know, they're stopped. I'm talking to them and we're like in the middle of the street. And, he said, well, he didn't say if, but he said, you're a pastor. He said, will you pray for my foot? And, it was the black gentleman. And I said, what's wrong with it? And it was swollen and it had gout in it. You know, that's an inflammation around the joints. And, I said, man, it does. It's kind of swollen. And, I said, okay, I sure will. Well, I think they thought, thanks, man. They were probably fixing to take off. And I said, okay, I'm going to pray. And I said, Father, and I'm telling you, a baptism came from me. It was on me and it was in me. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying it emanated from me. It didn't come from out there. It came from my word, Father. Everything inside of me just went into the street. I was the catalyst. I was and no brag. I'm just saying it came right through me. And those two guys that I know, I'm not judging them. I just know they weren't born again. I could tell that. They both go like, in essence, wow. The one guy goes, whoa. And the other one was like, I mean, it was like they were saying, can you feel this? And I could, you know, cause I'm used to it, but they were like, well, and somebody might say, well, did they get healed? I don't know. Did he get healed? I'm learning now. Yes. If I'd have just, I'll do this differently now. If I'd have just said, cause I know there was so much power went into his body. If I'd have just, cause I just said, you know, you guys are always welcome to church and went in the house. But if I'd have just said, like Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. No doubt, I'd have seen the instant, like, shrink. Yeah. because there was so much presence. Listen, you may not have 15 minutes or 10 minutes to put into your morning to worship God. But I'm telling you, whatever you can begin to slice and put in there, it will change your life. It will begin to place something inside of you that not only, listen, confession of the word is changing us. Man, Gary's been having an incredible series on recoding the brain. I hope you're all listening to that. He shared that. And man, it's changing my life. What Mike said Wednesday night was great. It's fantastic. I love talking to Homer. He's always, we're comparing notes always, and I'm learning stuff from him. You know, Gary talked about us listening to Jim. I started that series again this week. Listen, I'm going to tell you what you already know. Did you know that you can get a whole lot more the second time you listen to something? He's like, wow, I didn't know he said that. Well, I'm sitting right there. But listen, and all of that we need to do in confession and declaring and meditation, there's something that intimacy brings that nothing else will. And it's an intimacy that brings a, it's like when I walked out of here that day, there was a, and I'll remember this, right around that time, there was a stretch in my life where there was so many miracles taking place. And I'm not saying miracles aren't taking place right now, but there were so many miracles that were taking place. And it was right during that. I mean, like, I couldn't count them all. There was like, there was a man that I know that I had a, I know that God in me, not me, had a direct part in raising him from the dead. I mean, he was gone. They'd done, counted him out. He was in the hospital down in Naples. There were so many different things taking place. And it was during that time where worship was such a vital part of my life. So folks, we got to stay there. Don't forget that. Don't get into any mechanics. And I'm not saying any of the others are mechanics, but stay in the place of private worship. Hallelujah. Now let me pass out one more, and this takes us back. Let's go ahead. I'd say me pass this out, but let's go ahead and pass this out. And this goes right back to December the 31st, 2012. So that's been a good while ago. Hallelujah. Are you having a good time?
Yes, sir.
I hope so. Praise the Lord. This is another prophetic word, but it's so vitally important because it just correlates so much with what we just heard 12. What is that, 13 years later? Okay. My intent is intimacy. Okay. There's no place that I would rather you be than in my presence and in my love, says the Spirit of grace. For much of my church have only attained to one level. Now this prophecy gets real intimate the way it is expressed. Many come to sit at my feet, but few come to touch my face. Many have come to have my hands touch them and to receive of my hands their provisions for spirit, soul, and body. Many come looking to receive of what my hands provide. Many come to my presence asking of my hands to supply the power. Man, we want the power, don't we? Many ask of my mind, like, God, show me your direction in this. I need your mind. Those are all wonderful. What is your mind? But few come and spend the time to get to know me face to face, says the Spirit of grace. Do you not know that at the end of this age that I will return you to the garden, says the Spirit of grace? What man began in the garden, I will also return you to, a perfect planet. There'll be no flesh to conquer, You'll not ask of me. There will be nothing of provisions to ask for. There'll be no kingdoms to conquer. There'll be no loss to win. It will be no claiming of my word of promises for your provisions or for your health. The end of all things will be that you will be forever in my place of my presence and commune in the power of my Holy Spirit. Now he asked a good question. Why not in this age go to the end of all things? Says the Spirit of grace. Learn to touch my face and kiss my lips. You know, I think a lot of ministers and a lot of people are going to be lost, not lost eternally, but kind of lost in the fullness of the kingdom when he comes and all things are established. And we go into eternity because even ministers that have healing ministries and miracle working ministries, they're infatuated with the power. And I know I'm taking a scalpel and drawing a real close line here. But some people are some ministers and people, congregants, it's all about the fight or the claim or the, you know what I'm saying, which we all have that. But they never learn to touch his face and kiss his lips. And what he's saying is all of this fight, which is a war, and we've got to win it, all of this is all going to pass away. No more claiming of promises. The word will be there. We'll love him always. Thank you for. I think we'll talk the word in heaven. I think we'll talk the word in heaven, which is going to be down here, of course. But there, no sickness. Aren't you glad we won't have to fast anymore? Hallelujah. But somebody, you know, there's going to be evangelists. They're going to be lost. They're going to be walking around. Hey, bro, what's going on? I'm looking for somebody to win, you know, or I just want to, you know, do something. And it's like, we've returned to the garden. We've come back. The full circle has come into effect. There's no more wars to fight. And there is a war to fight now, a vehement war. But you better put as part of your fabric, go to the end of all things and learn, get to know him who's going to take you all the way to the end, which is the garden. He's taking us all the way back to the garden. All things are going to be restored. Learn a place where after you have presented your petitions before me, that you ask of me to come to a place of knowing me beyond any place that you've ever known, says the Spirit of grace. For there is no place that I would rather that you be, for this is the fullness. Many say, if I can win the lost, I will be a great pleasure to him. And I say to you, yes. But I say to you, there is a, now some of you might take exception with this. I know I heard it from the Holy Spirit, and I believe that I can give you scripture on it because of sons and daughters' intimacy. There's a greater pleasure in my heart, in my heart and in my heart of my Father than winning the loss. There's a greater pleasure than you raising the dead. In my heart, my pleasure is that you spend time. The greatest pleasure is that the greatest pleasure is what I have created you for and what I will return you to, that you spend time coming to know me, and out of this will all things proceed. For the church has not known me in this way. My ministers have not presented me this way, but I call you to this perfect place, to this place where love will never fail, says the Spirit of grace. Touch my face. Touch my brow, kiss my lips, come to me as I whisper things to you. Another time we hear the word whisper. Whisper, intimacy, those two things very closely associated. You cannot hear the things, now this is very important, and get this and understand it. You cannot hear the things that I will whisper if you're too busy. These things of which I will tell you cannot be done in maintenance as you go about your day. What's maintenance like? I'm not having any time for private. It's just maintenance. Maintenance is good. I'm not throwing maintenance out, but there's exceptions with maintenance. This does not change my love for you, he says. But you will not kiss my lips, and you will not hear my sweet whispers of intimacy as you go about your day in busyness without this place that I'm calling you to. Then, if that place is fulfilled as you go about your day, you will continue to hear the echoes and the resounding of intimacy and the sweet whispers in everything that you do and everything that you say. Listen to these words, for on the other side of these words are great harvest, first for you and then for them. I come to heal my church, but my intent is beyond healing. My intent is intimacy. For this you will return to, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. There's nothing like it. This is what we've been called to. Now, we're not, I've got a little bit of time, so don't rush out just because we finished that. He didn't say that you praying in tongues as you go, that's a staple, is unimportant. He's saying that but you're not going to be able to hear the whisper, which is vital, unless there's some kind of establishment of that place. But then out of that place, you can continue to hear that whisper. I've heard him talk to me where hundreds of people are around me, and I'm listening on the inside, so you can hear that whisper. That place, listen, praying in tongues is incredible. We can teach on it all day for years. We do. We'll continue. Meditation and decreeing the word, fasting, all those things, every single one of them sync with each other for this purpose. But there's a, what can I call it? There's an anesthesia, anesthetizing that takes place in worship. There's a place where you begin to, many times there's a dryness, like, I don't know what I'm getting out of this, I love you. But if you'll stay in there long enough, is everybody with me? I believe you are. You will catch times where, even if all you've got to give him is 15 minutes or 10 minutes or however, if you sit there and do it day after day, something happens. I have a friend that is a good personal friend of mine. We've hunted together a lot, and I flew out and had a fall hunt with him this year. He used to be into falconry. He doesn't do that anymore. But he talked to me years ago about this interesting hobby. He would train these falcons, and these falcons would hunt. And, you've probably seen them in movies and stuff. And he'd, wear the leather band, and this falcon would sit on his arm, and he would send the falcon up, and the falcon would hunt. And, he would hunt ducks, and he'd get ducks all the time. And the falcon would go up. And I was so interesting when I was listening. And he said this falcon would go up and he would circle over these marsh areas. And he could see him up, like thousands of feet high. But then when he wanted to kind of really get into a sphere of where he could look, he said he would just keep climbing, but he would have to be, flapping his wings and stuff. But he said there's always thermals. And if he said these are thermals, you can't see them, you can't necessarily even feel them, but they're thermals coming up from the earth. And the falcon, in essence, I guess, would search for these thermals. And as soon as he would come into a thermal, the thermal would just shoot him up like maybe 1,000 feet. And he didn't even have to flap. It was like he come around, and all of a sudden when he hit a thermal, he just went up. There are times in the spirit that if you will stay in there day after day, and say, this is dry. I don't like this. This can't accomplish. I'm going to go back to the word and confession, and I'm going to go back. If you'll stay in there, I can promise you that you will hit thermals in the spirit. And 5 minutes will feel to you like, God, it has been worth every moment that I've sowed into this. And what happens to you is not just a feel good for the moment that you walk out and say, I had a really good time in prayer. There's something that baptizes your heart and mind and senses. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody say, I'm ready for some thermals. Lift me up, Lord Jesus. By your grace, take me into those thermals. Hallelujah. It's an anesthetic. It's an anesthetizing that it's incredible. It's so wonderful. We've got a few minutes left. Go to John 17 with me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In that place of, when I say anesthesia, it's like the Holy Spirit baptized you in a place where you just know that the problem's still out there, but it really doesn't matter so much. Hallelujah. I had a procedure this week. I'm not going into details, but I was under full anesthesia. It was just one of those things where they say you need it at my young age. Okay, my young age. Never had it. The guy, the anesthesiologist came back and he's talking to me. Well, the nurse came first of all, and he's talking and he's like, real nice guy, and there's probably. I think my friend is probably watching this morning, unless he's busy assisting in surgery. I don't know. But, you know, these guys are incredible. I'm always impressed with anybody that's like 10 times smarter than me, watches me. You know, it's got to be God, which really is all of you. So thank you for being here this morning. But, you know, so I'm just amazed how they can, you know, put you asleep for 20 minutes and wake you up, or 30 minutes, and then you're like, I can't even remember. The only time I can ever think that ever happened to me was like I might have been in my early 20s and I had a wisdom tooth pulled. So I'm not accustomed to it. And so he said, are you allergic to anesthesia? And I said, no, which I'm not because I've never had it. So so they go back and they take me in there. You know, they're prepping me and stuff. And so the doctor, she's real nice, and she's telling me, okay, so we're going to do this, and, you know, 20 minutes, yeah, thank you, and so I'm not afraid at all. I'm like, what is this going to feel like? I've never, you know, been really under general anesthesia like this. I've never spent a night in the hospital that I know of, except when I was in elementary school one time. No incisions in my body, really, and so I'm like, what is this going to be? Like, I've heard this is really going to, you know, you really go to sleep fast. And I was like, okay, I'm going to see that. And so the guy, he's talking to me and, you know, the doctor, and then there's another doctor, anesthesiologist. And so he says, like, this is going to, he said, you know, just think of, so when he gets me, he goes, look, I bet you're hungry, right? Because you have to fast like, you know, a day and a half, whatever I was doing. And so listen, I've gone without food for a long, long time when it was my choice. But when somebody else tells me I have to go for food for like 36 hours, I'm like, dude, I'm starving. So he goes, I bet you're hungry. I said, I'm going to breakfast right after this. So when it gets me into the, you know, the procedure room, he goes, we're fixing to do this. He goes, just start thinking about something really. And so I had, you know, three choices. One was breakfast, and the other one was candy, and the other one was Jesus. And so I did choose Jesus. So I didn't really think so much about breakfast, but I did. I was ready to go eat. But anyway, but it's amazing to me, and there's a spiritual point here. So when he tells me, you know, the, doctor's right there. And so when he tells me, he goes, okay, Gary, how many of you know that? How many of you know me? There's only one Gary. That's Gary Carpenter, right? Yeah. And but I have to give him my real, you know, given name. So he says, okay, Gary, he goes, look, here comes the sleepy stuff. And so he told me to think of something really nice. And I go, inside, I'm going, I love you, Jesus. And then you're gone. You're gone. In less than 10 seconds, and it's deeper than sleep, because in sleep you dream. In this, you just wake up 30 minutes later and you're in another room and you're like, how'd I get here? And Mike said, man, Pastor, you didn't even seem like you were under general anesthesia Wednesday. And it didn't affect me other than, you know, but it was so neat. But listen, here's a spiritual application. There are things in the Spirit that the Holy Spirit wants to bring us under the ascendancy of the mind of Christ. The reflection of God's Word. This is all, we need all the limbs. We need His Word in our hearts. We need to confess His Word. We need fasting to mortify the flesh. We need Holy Spirit mysteries to be flowing out of us. And we need intimacy to baptize our senses, because it's like anesthesia. It's like we go someplace. It's not every day, but when we go someplace, somehow it planes everything out and it says something to our spirit and to our soul. It's all going to work out. And every single one of us need this. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's just say this together. Holy Spirit, put me under your anesthesia. Hallelujah. Amen. So I got a few minutes. Let's look at John 17. I love John 17 because starting in 13, we see the most intimate time where God is, where Jesus is speaking to his disciples and ministering to them. You know, I often talk about that Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is, I call it, you can call it whatever, Sermon on the Mount, of course, but the constitution or the kind of the skeletal structure, the backbone of all of Jesus' teaching. Well, if that's the backbone, John 13 through 17 is the heart. It's the internal heart of God. It's the intimacy. And so we can't go through all those chapters, and I don't know if we'll make it through 17, but let's look at something here. Jesus is speaking because he's Judas has already left. He leaves in chapter 13, right at, you know, there's two things that happen in this, in these chapters, if you put all the gospels together. A communion service takes place, a foot washing takes place. But after Judas receives the sop from Christ, he leaves, and then it just like opens the door for Jesus to begin to speak to his true disciples. And it's like the room is cleansed, and now he's able to speak to his disciples. And when he gets to 17, he's no longer speaking to them. This is one of the last times, this is the last time before he goes to the cross. But when he gets to 17, Jesus is not looking at them, nor is he talking to them. He lifts his face towards heaven, and it's so incredible because they get to watch him or listen to him commune with his Father. He's already given them the Lord's Prayer, but this is another prayer. This is a prayer of intimacy, and they get to listen. They're sitting there. Wow, would you like to sit and listen to Jesus pray? Oh my God. Here we go. Jesus kind of like, they fade out, he looks up, and he's talking to his Father. We hear some incredible, intimate words that are spoken here. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour's come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is the life eternal. What? What's the life eternal? That they might know. This word know is the same word in the Greek as a man would know. I looked it up again last night to make sure, to know his wife. We know what that means. We don't have to go into details. It's an intimate knowing. It's a knowing beyond just, hi, how are you doing? It's an intimacy. And this is the life, that they might know thee, the only true God, In other words, this was not established. Salvation was not established that you just have a ticket to heaven. It was established that you know him and follow him in truth. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. This is one of the most interesting verses right here to me of all verses in this whole chapter. And we'll finish, I believe, on time. If not, we'll just, you know, we'll finish later. But Jesus says, glorify thou me with the glory that I had with you before the world began, or before the world was. We talk a lot around here and teach line upon line that Jesus lived out his earthly existence. He's the God-man. He's the God-man. He's God and man, fully God, fully man. We say he's not fully God because he was hungry. He never got sick. He was hungry. He got tired. He needed to sleep. Yes, that's man. That's man. And he never lived out of his deity. We know that. We've established that. So I use this word. It's probably, you could probably think of a better one. But in essence, deity kind of just sat dormant. He was there. The Logos. Jesus is the most interesting being, if I can use that word in all respect, in all the universe. He was God in the flesh, but deity, really, Jesus conquered all sin in his humanity. It was like deity made a deal or a covenant with himself. When I get to earth, I'll never reach into my humanity. Why? Because if deity, what's that? Did I say something? Or was it my mouth? I'll never reach into my deity. Thank you. I knew when she says something, I need to correct. So deity said, I'll never reach into my deity to supplement my humanity. So that happens. He conquers sin for us. He heals the sick through the Father, through the Holy Spirit inside of him. Why? Because the works that he does or did, we'll do also. And if he lived out of his deity, then we would have an excuse. But Jesus always knew who he was. It wasn't that he didn't know who he was. And this perfect synchronization is incredible to me, because here we've got God living in a flesh suit, and yet he's not expressing himself. And all of humanity, all he is as a human being, is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All of those records is what he did, you and I can do also. Can you say praise the Lord? So it's him, but here here's an interesting thing. He says that, Lord, let me read it so I don't misquote it. He says, and now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So at that moment in time, here is a human praying, but he's able to somehow, here's one time where we see the reflection of deity. Because that man that was sitting there, that human man did not live in eternity's past. He came into existence in the womb of Mary. His human spirit, his human body, that didn't come from somewhere. That was created here. So he can't be talking about in his humanity, but somehow in his humanity, as he's praying, he gets a reflection from the other side of him, if you can say it that way, and he's able to say, I remember through who I once was, what we once shared. Hallelujah. Now that's deep, but that's good, right? That's wonderful. So hallelujah. You and I, we didn't exist forever. We came into existence, but now we have an eternity, incredible eternity with him. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Let me just read a little further. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou hast gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. And now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are thee, of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. He didn't pray for the world. He prayed for them then. But for them which thou hast given me, for thine they are. And all of mine are thine, and thine are mine. And we could just, you could go for hours breaking all this down. I'm just reading right now. And I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those thou hast given, gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. That's Judas he's talking about. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and thy and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Do you know all of this prayer is for us? This was prayed 2,000 years ago. How many believe that God honors Jesus' prayer? So all of this is for us, not just for them then. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them, this is us, which shall believe on me through their words. Hallelujah. This is us. We're believing on him, and we've got his prayer praying for us. Then, hallelujah. Jesus prayed for me then in that room. Hallelujah. That they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. There's teaching after teaching in all this. I just have to skip it. I in them, and thou in me, and they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and love them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will, look at this. This is one of the crux of this whole chapter for me in intimacy. I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. If you read chapter 17, yes, listen, I know he's coming to get us one day, or I'm going to die and I'm going to see him. So you can say, well, this is a prelude to that prayer. I want to bring him home. But if you read 17 really in the context, you cannot dismiss that he's praying that we have an intimate relationship, that we're able to present tense in real time. Behold him. This is my will, that they are able to come and fellow. This is intimacy. And this is a prayer prayed for us. And I pray into this prayer, and I say, yes, Jesus, you prayed for me then, that I now in my prayer time or my worship time, I receive the anointing of that or the fulfillment of that prayer, because you prayed that I would be able to behold your glory. I guess you can, and I'm not throwing that out, that he's saying, bring him home. But this whole chapter is about intimacy, and it's about establishing a fellowship with the Father. And he's saying, Lord, I will that they're able to enter into, as Dave used to call it, this room of fellowship. And so we've got a prayer prayed for us. Yeah. And I enter into that prayer. This is what I do. I say, Lord, I'm asking. He prayed for me. I'm receiving that prayer that I'm able to behold his glory and enter into this place. Hallelujah. Couple more verses, I guess. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it, that the love wherein thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. Do you know that God loves you as much as, now this is hard for some people, God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. Somebody said, oh, I can't. That's what Jesus just, Jesus, how many believe that God honors Jesus' prayer? And he was saying, I'm asking you to love them and show them your love on the same level. The same level that I have with you. Hallelujah. Don't forget intimacy. Don't leave it out. You know, everybody's got what you do, what he says. Don't follow what I said as far as how I start, but impregnate it as part or impute it as part of your spiritual life. Amen. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We worship you. Hallelujah. Let's just, Harry, start us a cappella, or you can just, I sing praises to you. Praises to your name. Sing it to him. Oh, Lord, praises to your name. If you're watching, just sing with us. Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name. Kevin is leaving, so I want everybody to, Kevin, I'm just going to come up there. I'm getting close to the camera. Every time I get the opportunity to lay hands on him, I'm going to, and Denise as well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, right now, I release the power of God on both of them. I call them directly healed this morning in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are bold in what we proclaim, and we call this man completely healed, all the appendages of his body. We command a complete reversal of the stroke, healing into Denise's hands, fingers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, I call it done in Jesus' name. Let this healing follow them home and in the car in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're welcome. Where were we at? I sing praises to you. Yes, we're about close. Oh, Lord. Praises to your name, Jesus. Oh, Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be. We'll end it on that one. Hallelujah on the fall. Blessings, Father, follow us all home as you do. You're always with us, but I'm talking about a tangible presence that gets in the car with us. It gets, Lord, wherever we're at, by your Spirit. Bless them through the camera in their homes. We call a Mockleyan revival, and wherever they're at, in an outpouring, we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. God bless you. We love you. We'll see many of you tonight. Amen.